Psalm 118, verses 15 through 18. These are God's words. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of Yahweh does valiantly. The right hand of Yahweh is exalted. The right hand of Yahweh does valiantly. I shall not die, but live, and declare the works of Yahweh. Yahweh has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Amen. Thus ends this reading of God's inspired and inerrant word, in which he teaches us what the believer's home, what the Christian home sounds like. And it sounds loud at times, and the loudness in the times of worship is matched by the joy and the triumph and the exaltation of the hearts. The voice of rejoicing, or the noise, the sound of rejoicing and salvation, is in the tents of the righteous. And here, they're described as tents because they are on campaign with the Lord. This is not the exact same thing as in the Exodus and the wilderness, as the people went in a great camp with the Lord within their midst. It is especially looking forward to and participating in the victory of Christ, when Yahweh, the God-man, is the king who is surrounded by all the nations, like we heard in verse 10, but we heard three times, I will destroy them, I will destroy them, I will destroy them. And the great picture of the Lord Jesus as his people's champion. So here we are, we're on campaign. This is very specifically military campaign with King Jesus. But we come along as those who are being delivered. The pain that we suffer in life is not suffered so much at the hands of our enemies who hate us to destroy us, but it comes to us especially in the providence of our God, in the providence of our King, in the providence of Jesus, who is Yahweh in the flesh. So that verse 18, we see even that affliction which comes by what others have done to us, we see even that as coming in the providence and the sovereign wisdom and fatherly love of the Lord. Verse 18, Yahweh has chastened me severely. And it doubles the verb there. It uses an infinitive form with an imperfect form in that common Hebrew construction to emphasize severely chastened. Is just doubling of the verb there. And it's describing the same thing. In fact, the Holy Spirit might have helped the apostle in Hebrews 12 by giving him memory of this verse as he's writing about the fatherly goodness of God and about how all true children receive discipline and how it is not pleasant at the moment, but painful. And he says here, Yahweh has chastened me severely, but this is in the context of the one whom the Lord is delivering, whom the Lord is saving. He has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. And so the chastening does not come in the fury of the wrath of God and the wrath of the Messiah, like we saw against his enemies in verses 10 through 14. I will destroy them, I will destroy them, I will destroy them. No, it comes not to destroy, but to save us from death. For indeed, our sin is death in us, and if it remains in us, then we would end up in the second death, which is to be cast into the lake of fire, as the book of Revelation describes it. But those whom the Lord is delivering from the second death, he gives holiness. And he gives it by the means of chastening so that we will not perish forever, so that we will not die but live. And to do what? Well, to do then forever what we ought to be doing now, voicing our rejoicing and salvation over the Lord and his victory. The word valiantly being a word of victoriousness and strength, and the word exalted being a word of victory also, but being lifted up and overcoming. And so strength in himself, in his victory, and overcoming his enemies in his victory, delivering us so that we can, verse 17, declare the works of Yahweh. And now that's something you get to do, especially as we sing, something you'll be doing as we sing this portion of his word in a minute. And it is also something that you get to do in the public worship, something that you do in your private worship times, and it's something that your heart should be doing throughout the day. When the apostle comes in Philippians 4, and he says, rejoice in the Lord always, one of the things he's doing is not saying, be happy because of Jesus always, sure, to some extent, but especially that your heart would be lifted up, praising him, and in thanksgiving to him, exalting him. And it becomes very difficult then to maintain any sort of sin if we're mindful of the greatness and goodness and mercy of our God. Then it's not just anxiety that is excluded this way, but how could we sin against him? And often one of the things that he does in his chastening then is he brings us to cry out to him for a deliverance we know that we will have. And we remember again his salvation. We remember again his strength. We remember again that the purpose for our being saved is his praise. And it brings us back to not just a confidence in him, but a devotion to him, by which he helps us in our combat with sin. And so may our house be full of that rejoicing, and may your heart be full of that rejoicing as we come into our portion, having the Lord himself forever. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this little section of this psalm. And we do pray that when we do receive chastening from you, you would remind us that you are the one who delivers us out of every trouble, and that when you send it, you send it in fatherly love to turn us from our sin and to remind us of your victory so that we will rejoice over you. Give us hearts, we pray, that rejoice over you throughout our life so that we will live with your joy as our strength in devotion to you and to your praise. Grant this, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.